The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 6 minutes after seven, since we had a little conversation with Bert Kearns about Shemp. Cherry's here. Hey, Cherry, how you doing this morning?
I'm perfect.
Now, you have to admit, though, you have to agree, though, that it's mostly guys who get the Three Stooges, and it's like something which is not for women. Would you agree?
No.
When
I was young, I was a little girl here. I wasn't, you know, a teenager. I was kind of small, and I had an obsession with Moe.
You did?
And my great aunt, Donna Reed, I actually wrote him a love letter and had Donna take it to him, and he was touched by it. You know, he said, "Oh, thank you very much." But Curly was the ladies' man. He was actually married many times, and he was, you know, my husband kind of looks like Curly, so I love Curly.
Yeah,
too.
you like that look, that physical archetype. Now, by the way, did you know his name, his real name?
Who, Mo?
No, Curly. Curly's real name.
Jerome. I forgot.
Jerome Howard.
Oh, Jerome.
Yeah. Does he look like a Jerome? Did he look like a Jerome?
Oh.
Wow. But anyway.
I don't know why I had such a crush on Mo. And Mo was elderly. And I don't get, as a kid, you know, what attracted me to him, but I just... Their hijinks was genius, and there's never been anything better. In fact, I'm streaming it now.
I wanted to let you know here, you know, the thing about reading this Shemp book was quite fascinating, to realizing that the Howard brothers all ended up, except for Mo. Mo actually lived to be a pretty ripe age. All the rest of them died at considerably younger ages, but... There is a lot of concern that Mo was the one who dealt most of the slaps and the hits and the pokes and things like that. And and so you end up having all of these his brothers dying of strokes and various other things. Now, Curly ate way too much, and he ate garbage, you know, in those days. But they all ended up having cerebral problems, you know, problems with their head circulation, including Shemp at the end. So I thought that was interesting. So comedy was tough work, right?
It was dangerous, and they were incredible. And Larry was a violinist. He was a master at that.
Yes.
I'm better looking than Larry.
He said, my husband said he's better looking than Curly.
Yeah, especially because he's alive. Thank you. We appreciate the call there, Cherry. Let me go to Matt. Matt, how you doing this morning? The world is run by clowns and stooges, so we might as well just acknowledge that first off. But good
ahead. I think this is a great topic for a Tuesday. It's light. I mean, I think it's great. But I called in about this strike from the dock workers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And just to catch people up, the company or the dock companies, of course, were offering 50% raise, so a 10% raise over the next 5 years, each of the next 5 years, and that it would limit the automation, the AI being brought into it to try to preserve some jobs. But you were telling me that how much did they actually want? They want an 80% raise? They want an 80% raise?
It was 77% over 7 years is what they were looking for. That's originally what they were looking for.
Wow. Okay. You know, when I look at that, that seems to me to be the classic reason why you would fire every human that demanded something like that at this point in time and replace it with a computer. I don't know how else you would make that pencil. Huh?
Look, I think a lot of your listeners remember when Reagan fired all the air traffic controllers.
Yes, I do. I remember that well. And, of course, I don't know. Well, they were fired, though, not because they were asking for more, but because of the strike.
That's why
he ended up firing them, because their contract was that they were not allowed to strike. It wasn't because I don't think that Reagan would have wanted to have probably negotiated with them, but there was no negotiating at that point, if I recall correctly. I'm a little bit light on the details, right?
And that's kind of the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that these guys go on. First of all, I had to tell you, this negotiation when I first heard it, it sounds like the beginning of a Trump negotiation. It's like,
in other words, you throw out the most outrageous demand, right? First and foremost.
Well, this is the thing that used to drive me crazy for a year and a half when Trump was president. I remember him sitting in, I don't know if it was the Oval Office or not, but he had Nancy and he had Chuck Schumer in there, and they were talking about the DACA people, and Trump was saying, yeah, give me the money for the wall and I'll let the 1.8 million people stay or something like that. And I was like, why are you giving away so much in the beginning? But then I began to understand that his negotiation tactic was to find out as quickly as possible where the other party was. And so you throw out an outlandish thing and see which parts they nibble at. And then you know what matters to them.
Oh.
And then you can go back and refine your negotiation.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I hadn't really considered it that way because I'm not a particularly good negotiator. I don't claim to be a good negotiator, right? And so, but this is his. Well, let me ask you then, what is going on, in your opinion, in the campaign trail? Because I hear Trump just talk about some things which, even though I love the guy, he just throws out economic nonsense out there on the campaign trail sometimes. And I'll give you an example the other day. Here's something I just thought, oh, you got to be kidding, Don. Don't you? You know economics wouldn't work. He said that we should cap credit card interest rates at 10%. All right? Now, I know that sounds really good, and there's people who are probably in a lot of credit card debt. They would like that a lot. But anytime you cap the price of anything, you get shortages of it. And, you know, sometimes someone's not worth giving a credit card to at 10%. You would understand that as a money guy, right?
So is your question, is that a real offer he's making?
That's what I'm wondering, but he says
no.
it gets reported as a real offer. I'm just thinking, this is economic nonsense, okay?
He, you know? He said it, right? He said it.
Yeah.
But I think part of that is, Visa has, I don't know, at least one class action lawsuit against them.
Yeah.
I mean, I take credit cards for my business, and I've been sent at least two mailers over the last 5 or 6 years telling me that they were committing some kind of collusion or fraud or something or other, and you could be part of this class action lawsuit if you did business between this year and this year. So I'm sure the people at Visa hear this, and their initial reaction, especially if they're not men of a certain age, if they're, you know, in their 30s, they hear that and go, oh, my God, oh, my God. But the older people who know Trump and what he's about are saying, look, he's just throwing this out here. Trump, I don't care what anybody else says about him. You may think he's bombastic. You may think a lot of stuff about him. But you can't argue with his negotiating
prowess.
Yeah, his prowess. I mean, he stepped over the line into North Korea to shake Kim Jong-un's hand.
Yeah.
People on the left were freaking out. And I'm like, well, if Hitler hadn't killed himself, how did they expect that World War II was going to end when you had to sit down at the table and negotiate with someone like him?
Yeah, eventually someone has to walk in there and offer a deal. And you got to work it, right? You got to do it.
Has everybody forgotten about the reset button, that stupid reset button with Hillary Clinton? You know, sometimes it's better to talk to the people that you don't like, even if you think they'd like to kill you
yeah.
as soon as look at you.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I want to go back to this thing with the longshoremen. I saw a brief clip from an interview of the head of the union. Since you're talking about the Stooges, this guy reminded me of Channel 13 wrestlers back in the 70s.
I had to play the theme. Sorry.
Yep. But that's who he reminded me of. He was threatening. Now, it sounds like he's threatening the people who own the docks and all that stuff. But he's threatening America. He's basically saying, I will hold America hostage right before Christmas. If you don't give us what we want, I will do this. And there'll be no automation. There'll be no this. We want big raises. I got to say, how long does this knucklehead think he can go before the people of the country turn on him?
A real president, though, would have knocked his weenie into the dirt. Okay, let's be real.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I guess I didn't hear it, but apparently Biden made a comment that he doesn't want to use the Taft-Hartley thing with the union. You know about all that stuff. But
yeah.
that he doesn't want to come down and say, look, you know, you guys need to get back to work. We'll sit down. We'll negotiate. Can you imagine Biden negotiating with anyone?
No, absolutely not. He's essentially an empty husk at this point, and it really speaks volumes here to how unserious of a country we are right now, Matt, that Biden is still in power right now. It just really shows you how unserious of a country we are, that hasn't been dealt with.
Look, I'm with you. I'll just split on this, but I can't believe it doesn't even feel real to me anymore, Bill.
No.
It's like I get up, I do my work all day, and I go on about my business. None of it feels real to me. None of this does. The fact that Kamala Harris is in a dead heat, when the woman, if you've listened to 5 seconds of her talking.
Like how serious of a country can this be that she's even within striking distance at this point? It really is. It's just, and yet I got to tell you, you know, if I were to talk with my sister who is as hard left, I mean, probably makes Bernie look like a hardcore Republican, right? My sister, hard left, hard left, hard left. And it's abortion, 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 abortion. It's like all she got 3 kids. All she cares about is the ability to kill kids, and yet she's not going to have any, you know, anymore at this point. It just it amazes me. That is like the single focus. I've never quite seen something like that. Not a phobia, but like a psychological op has been put on a lot of these people. It's abortion, abortion, abortion.
I guess I'll throw in one more thing if I can.
Okay.
I don't think. If you talk to anybody who comes from a communist country, whether it's somewhere in Vietnam back in the day or Cuba or whatever, I mean, Cuba, they're eating out of trash cans now. None of them want to happen what's happening. This is part of the reason the Asian community is moving more conservative, because at first they were like, oh, you know, we're in the country, we want these things. But now they're kind of beginning to see that we're getting way too close to the places that caused them to leave.
Mm-hmm. They get
it. And the question is, does it happen soon enough or will it be too late?
I appreciate the call as always, Matt,
right,
and
your
thoughtfulness. And boy, that's a boulder in the shoe this morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I should go back to playing the Three Stooges theme. All right. The Three Stooges in charge or the One Stooge in charge. I don't know. 770-5633. All right. Let's look at the price of gold this morning. Oh boy, $26.59. Silver is at $31.50, $31.53. This is what the future markets are looking at right now. Gold still on a tear. It's looking meteoric. Of course, it might come down, might give back and relax at this point. But boy, better to have gold a little bit too soon than a little bit too late. All right, we're talking about wealth preservation. Talk to our friends at Jay Austin and Company, Gold Silver Buyers. It's 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Yep, we're touching new highs again. And it doesn't look like it's ready to quit anytime soon because central banks are buying this hand over fist. They're looking at the possibility of war. Israel does seem to be looking into expanding the pace of that war over in Lebanon and elsewhere. And they're just looking at nobody has any desire to rein in the spending in the United States of America. I think this has to do with it. Talk with Jay Austin and tuck away some, right? Tuck away some. Not everything here. Now, I had Mark write me the other day, and I also had Jim write me saying, Bill, you know, if we really were to have tough times, are you able to eat your gold? And when you and your family get hungry, you're going to trade 5 bars of gold for my rations. You know, this sort of thing. You can't eat the gold. I sent this over to Mark. I said, Mark, what do you think about this? Mark runs Jay Austin. And he says, Bill, I totally get the argument. He says, if you have no assets and no net worth and only 5 bullets, this would be 100% true. We don't recommend buying gold if you're in this position. Gold is a way to transfer your wealth through hard economic times. If your net worth is, let's say, $500,000 or $5 million, you would regret buying bullets and even 10% of your assets as your net worth has dropped in comparison to those who bought gold. We're not trying to eat gold. We assume that you have already taken care of your food and defensive systems. We are looking at a much larger picture here. Remember, that's what I was talking about. Gold is not instead of other preparations. No, it's not about the water and the food. And then, no, you buy gold instead. No. Gold is the bigger picture of wealth preservation. Jay Austin in Ashland Grants Pass. FortuneReserve.com. Call them at 482-3715.
As the Montana roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
In the drop-down menu, check out coin.com today.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET. Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
Some other good news here for local business. I want to make sure and get that out there. It was announced yesterday that Jackson County Jury over in Federal District Court has awarded Cerakote, that is known as NIC Industries over in White City, $190 million. This is a jury award here in a trade secrets trial. This is going on for several days. I was mentioning this a few days back, and it was one of these trials. You didn't really hear much about it. It was just going on behind the scenes. But this was a big deal. And apparently, Cerakote, NIC Industries, you know, now, see, I know I'm a Cerakote because, you know, so being into firearms and things there, it's a big deal to get a lot of firearms actions and barrels and, you know, coated with Cerakote. You get the frames coated in Cerakote, very tough. It's a tough polymer, kind of a ceramic polymer type thing, very hard, very durable. And Cerakote, NIC Industries, had partnered with Rust-Oleum, the Rust-Oleum people, right? Yeah, everybody knows about Rust-Oleum, that company. And they had partnered and were selling these headlight restoration kits, and supposedly very successful and worked really well. And then the partnership dissolved. And then the accusation that what was put in front of the jury was that they were accusing Rust-Oleum of having reverse engineered the polymers, all the chemicals, that the secret chemicals that Cerakote, NIC, had come up with. And then they ended up coming up with their own headlight restorations, like, you know, the wipe of some sort, and, you know, all those things to get rid of the, you know, the foggy headlight lenses. And so $190 million. Now, the judge, though, did order everybody to hang on to the evidence and the presentations and all that kind of stuff. Which, in other words, I don't think that NIC or Cerakote is going to be spending the $190 million immediately, because you can almost guarantee that Rust-Oleum will appeal and may go back on this, or something may change. We don't know. But still, that's pretty good news. Pretty good news there. And some people were mentioning on my Facebook page when I was mentioning this last night, you know, oh, boy, it's going to be more money going into the community. No, I don't think first you got to pay the attorneys. The attorneys get a nice big fat payday on something like this if the money ends up being coughed up. Who knows? But, the money could be reduced on appeal. There's all sorts of things. It's not over yet, but still, it's a good development for NIC Industries to not have a former partner steal their work. You know, that kind of stuff. Hey, boy, thanks. So now you just try to screw us over, that kind of thing. But at the very least, though, if this goes through and they end up getting that kind of money into the corporate coffers, that could mean an expansion. That could mean investing in more equipment or in more research and the ability to have a bigger operation. You know, NIC is already pretty great over there in White City. Maybe they get to expand. But I don't think they're going to be spending the $190 million next. But still, you know, reasonably positive development here in Southern Oregon. Better to hear about the Southern Oregon business getting screwed and screwed by the jury, but so far so good in the trade secrets trial.
Lynn Barton here, Medicare advisor at Sky Park Insurance. If you have Medicare Advantage or a prescription drug plan, the Inflation Reduction Act made big changes that will affect you next year. Some good, some really bad. Get informed for upcoming annual enrollment by coming to my complimentary Medicare Update Seminar on Tuesday, October 1st at 6:30 p.m. at the Phoenix Library. RSVP 541-499-0958 or email Lynn at skyparkins.com or find me at skyparkins.com.
Hi, it's John at Wilburn's Weapons.
The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
7:30, we'll talk with Herman here in the next few minutes. The real story, at least his opinion behind the recall efforts against his colleague, John West, Commissioner John West. We'll have that coming up here. I want to give an email of the day here. Email is of the day, and it's sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson at Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And what's really cool about this place is that not only is it a wonderful dental place, and my dog in the fight is that I go there. In fact, I got a couple of crowns from them. But their crowns are often while you wait because they can take care of your teeth. They get your tooth all prepped, and they have an in-house lab. They don't have to send it out. Yeah, they got this amazing machine, and it's really cool to watch it. You ought to ask Steve about it. I'm sure he's proud. He'll show it to you if you want. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. It's next door to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. And let's see. The name that comes on the email is The Highland Lass. And she's writing, what are some of the items in the UN pact for the future? Well, I got this from a friend. And while you are entertained by the circus of P. Diddy or the theater of the general selections, here's what's going on at the UN summit as they are signing the pact for the future. A few things from the table of contents. We will accelerate reform of the international financial architecture to address the challenges of today and tomorrow. Page 37, we're about to crash the economic system as part of our Great Reset and force you on to the central bank digital currency. Here's a bunch of the other ones. So the Highland Lass, you're absolutely right. This is what they were going for last week. However, I'm not going to panic about this quite yet, all right? And I'm going to go to Joel Skousen. I'm a subscriber to World Affairs Brief. World Affairs Brief is a great weekly digest of some of the news and a lot of the conspiracy news, and he kind of breaks it down. And he also kind of blows up the myths here, too. And the latest United Nations power grab, Joel reports here, and I'll take this to the bank, is a pipe dream for now, all right? United Nations, he reports, met in New York for its General Assembly, and as usual, the world leaders using the ideal of world peace and individual nations' pet aid projects as the excuse for their existence. But there was even a lone critic who pointed out the hypocrisy of the UN allowing some of the greatest world tyrants to be members of the Human Rights Council. But I think that's, I don't know if that's necessarily a bug, but a feature of the UN. But this is what Joel, the salient point that I'm going to go with Joel on. He says the United Nations itself upstaged everyone else with a new Pact for the Future announcement, complete with a long wish list of additional powers the United Nations seeks to counter its downward drift into irrelevancy, including eliminating Security Council vetoes, mandating obedience to the International World Court, and allowing the United Nations to tax wealthy people. The United Nations largely exists to give the world's leftists and globalist leaders a platform to spout their propaganda and bully for their agendas, and they're now seeking to have some real power of enforcement. Joel Skousen reports that he thinks that this is currently an opium pipe dream. There is no way the power grab is going to be enforceable on the largest Western nations due to public resistance at this time. And that's the caveat that he puts on this, Highland Lass. And that is precisely why all the globalist powers in the world are secretly promoting another future world war, because that's the surest way to overwhelm any opposition. With a sufficiently devastating world crisis, the resulting despair can be used to force people to band together in that so-called New World Order as an illusory solution to save themselves. And the Argentinian president, Javier Milei, was the only major leader not playing along with this. He lambasted the UN for its supreme hypocrisy on human rights, rightly denouncing the United Nations for including the dictatorship regimes such as Cuba and Venezuela in key human rights bodies. So there we go. That's from Joel Skousen. That's his take on it, and I would tend to agree with that. I think Joel does really good thinking, really good reporting over there on World Affairs Brief. Cost me about $80 a year. So I think it's worth it, though, if you've ever considered picking that up. All right. It's 7:34 at KMED, 99.3 KPXG. We'll catch up on the rest of the news here. Herman joins me in just a moment. The real story, in his view, behind the recall in Joe County.
We've all done it. You approach your vehicle and see a scratch or a ding, grimace, and think,
Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
Tom is in Talent on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hello, Tom. What are you thinking?
Well, I think you're doing a great job covering all the crazies going on.
And there's a little bit more than the usual amount of crazy. I don't know what that is, but Must be just the times.
It's election ramping up and so forth. So, yeah, it's going to keep getting that way as we go along. I just appreciated your previous little blurb on the United Nations. I think it would be clearer if instead of calling it the New World Order, we called it the New World Gestapo. That would make it a little clearer to the sheeple out there what's really going on. I
think that would be a great way to nickname it, New World Gestapo, because that is ultimately where they go. And you have to look at even the way many of Oregon's policies, California's too. Everything is about taking us down that path and conditioning people that, to not own anything, to not be able to go anywhere unless you're on the
digital dollar
and neighborhood equity and climate friendly, this and that and the other. It's all connected. It's all part of the same thing.
It certainly is, and I must say I would have no trouble. In fact, I would appreciate a one world government if it was if it really incorporated our Bill of Rights into it. And I mean solid, 100%. But anything short of that, I have absolutely zero interest in having a one world Gestapo.
Yeah, so small town governments can have problems. So the idea is to take a bunch of just multiply that by a million, and then all of a sudden it's nirvana. It's just it's just humanity. All right. Thank you, Tom. I always appreciate your call. Thank you for doing that. All right. Take care. It is 19 before 8. Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bearchecker rejoins the show. Good morning, Herman.
How are you today, Bill?
I'm doing fine. I'm just noticing that Josephine County seems to be engaging in a lot of student council type of tricks this morning. They're still stealing signs, huh? Can you believe that? I couldn't believe that story the other day with Chris Barnett. Oh, man. Anyway, what is it? You're stupid. No, you're stupid. No, you're more stupider. I'm going to steal your sign. I don't know. Kind of crazy, isn't it?
Well, there's always a little sign manipulation goes on and during the election cycle, but this individual was caught red-handed, so that brings it to a little different level.
Well, if I were running for office and I had signs, I think I would cover them with itching powder just for fun, just to see what happened. All right.
Well, the last election, there was some big signs that were taken off of Redwood Highway, and they got the guy's picture on a camera from a business across the street, but they were never able to figure out exactly who it was.
Yeah, got
it. I mean, the individual really went to some effort to take these signs.
Yeah. Well, the one that was caught with Chris Barnett's signs, though, that one was pretty much red-handed because he caught her. He caught her on it, but well.
He caught her, yeah. So, and it's sad because, some of these people are known in the community and everything, and they don't realize that all of their years of them being in the community and doing things, their reputation in one stupid moment goes out the window.
I know. That's what I can't believe it. You'll have people who are arguably just really hot and bothered in this in the election cycle, and would normally never do such things. None of these people would do something like that. And you just get hot and bothered, and you just kind of lose your control in the minute. I'm just taking that down. I hate that guy, or I hate this woman, whatever, And then they start doing it. But then to be caught, yikes, it's like, there goes the rep. There goes the reputation, I guess. That's too bad.
Yes, it is. It is too bad. So this week, I guess they'll be out at RCC at the Redwood campus collecting signatures. And it was asked if they can do that because, these institutions get all kinds of public money.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we have a common area. And as long as they stay in the common area, it's okay, And I'm thinking to myself, RCC is going after this big, huge bond.
I was kind of curious. It seemed like an interesting time, but at the same time, that probably is something that they have allowed there. That's probably the commons area where you're going to go out there and talk about how lovely the Palestinians are and how the Israelis are evil, that kind of thing. Every college has something like that, right?
Yep. Which, you know, I have mixed feelings on it because it's taxpayer dollars are paying for that college. And, you know, you can't do that at the courthouse. You can't do it in these other public institutions. And mm-hmm. So why should you do it at the colleges, you know?
Yeah, I ended up talking to the president last week. In fact, I had him on Clear Connections. Everybody was listening to it this weekend. And mm-hmm. And we were talking about that bond. I'm kind of surprised that, of course, I don't know. Maybe he didn't know about that happening at that time when we were talking last week. Maybe not.
Well, you know, that they kind of snookered us, you know, and these things get passed. So this college district, which encompasses Jackson and Josephine County. So now it's, if you're in the district, you're voting for it. But the problem with it is, like I said, that we kind of got snookered in it in Josephine County because Jackson County has so many more votes. Jackson County could actually pass something for the college that Josephine County rejects, but yet Josephine County is going to have to pay the bill.
That's true, because what it's doing is that the district encompasses Jackson and Josephine County. And by the way, I have to tell you, and this is not questioning the actual district or the educational chops of RCC are pretty darn good. They're helping people get jobs and jobs training, and I think they've done a very admirable job of that. And what they're hoping to do with this this bond measure is to make it so that Josephine County folks don't have to travel to Jackson County for certain training, and nor does someone in Jackson County have to travel to the Josephine County campus, Grants Pass campus, in order to get certain training. They're trying to, you know, duplicate facilities more equally in both counties, which I don't think is a bad idea. Do you?
Well, it depends on how much it costs. I mean, we have basically free public transportation between the two counties through our transit program.
Yeah, but there is the cost of time. You know, if you're living in Cave Junction and you're living in Cave Junction, then you have to go to Jackson County. It's a long haul. Okay.
It is, but duplicating things are always concerning, and at the you know, and I have nothing against RCC. I was an instructor there at one time with their wildland fire mm-hmm. science program. So, and it was a very good experience. And I've always had good experiences at rural community college.
Yeah, and by the way, this is a 9 cents per thousand per thousand bond in Joe County, right? 9 cents?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's what it is.
And that is just renewing the 9 cent bond that Jackson County had already been paying, which was expiring. So that's what the vote would do. But you're right. It is kind of odd that I never thought about it that way, that Jackson County could overwhelm the Josephine County vote if they didn't feel like doing that. Huh.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh.
And I don't think that's a good place to be in politics. I think the colleges should strive to be neutral politically because it could actually hurt them, you know, in certain cases, because it could be perceived that they're taking positions, which I know they are not, but it could be perceived.
Remember, well, look at what happens with the library districts here in our counties.
Yes,
right now.
That's right.
Overtly. Yes. I mean, they put thumbs on the political all the time, and then they wonder why people get upset with them. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, back to the John West story. So, mm-hmm. you know, I've watched John, and John's never been in politics. He's a little rough around the edges, but I will tell you, he has been fairly smart on the issues, and he said that when he got elected that he was going to make Josephine County more efficient, and he has put a lot of effort into doing that. He has been successful some places and not successful other places.
Where do you think he's been successful?
He's been successful in, well, I have to say because one commissioner can't do it, but he's had some pretty good ideas on combining departments and saving money. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of pushback for people that work in the county.
I've often thought that the number one reason for the recall, more than anything else, is county workers really upset about the possibility of attrition going on and reduction in force. Am I right about that or wrong? Is that
No, you're absolutely right. And I made that statement several times over the last couple of years, is when I knew that the county was going to have to retract. And I think all counties are gonna be in some sort of retraction mode. And nobody's happy when you're downsizing. Nobody's happy. So we're just kind of caught in that. But it's amazing. I listen to these candidates campaigning and their campaign promises, and you know, I'm thinking to myself, well, you can't do that. You got statute problems. You got money issues and everything. But so you got a bunch of people campaigning for these positions that have never been in a government position. And to be quite honest, my big concern with this election cycle, Bill, is you could wind up with three commissioners that have zero government management experience in Josephine County next year.
Who have no idea how it actually works.
Exactly. They don't understand the limitations, the statutory limitations.
Yeah. If the recall was to be approved and go forward, right? That kind of thing.
Well, because
one way or the other, you're going to be gone at the end of the year. You're not, you didn't run for re-election.
Right.
And Dan DeYoung is gone. And so,
yeah.
There we go.
And John, if John survives the recall, he doesn't have a lot of experience. He has a little bit.
But he has more experience than all the other people running.
Right, exactly. But still, there's a lot. And I will tell you, being a senator for 8 years has helped me a lot because I understand that space very well. And of course, a lot of the legislation that we are guided by, I help create or not create, and it still passed. Mm-hmm. But so I'm really concerned. But you know, this is all liberal driven. Just look at who the Democrats are supporting. Look at who the Republicans are supporting. And this goes back to what I've always said: there's no such thing as nonpartisan. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Do you think that could ever get around to changing that in Josephine County? Because I'm so proud that in Jackson County we were able to turn that back. Because I'm just saying, hey, you know, nonpartisan elections are BS because they're always partisan. They just hide. They just hide the partisanship. It comes right down to it.
Exactly. Like, this is such a great example. Look who the Democrats in Josephine County are supporting, and look who the Republicans are in nonpartisan races.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's that's just how it is. And then, you know, we have all these people that change party affiliation, you know, so they can try to benefit from the members of that party to vote for them when they're truly not conservatives. That's trickery. And why would you want to vote for somebody that is engaging in trickery, Bill? Mm-hmm.
Now, I am not endorsing John West. Okay, I don't do
right.
that. But I would highly recommend, when you already have two new commissioners who will be coming in, I would highly recommend that, you know, if you have a problem with John West, leave it be for right now. Work with him, bring your concerns to the board, and work this out in the public forum if you want. But the idea of having three completely green commissioners going into 2025, and I got to tell you here, Herman, 2025 is going to be a come-to-Jesus moment for many counties and towns. Let's be honest, because, you know,
yeah.
We know that the free gravy train COVID ride and all of the amazing hot checks being written, that's gone. It's over.
It's all gone. It is. It's all gone. We have pretty much sifted through all those trillions and trillions of dollars, which is going to come and bite us again. You know, it's going to create our life very complicated in the future. There's no question about it. You just ask any economist, you just read, they're all saying the same thing. Inflation's not going away. It may slow down a little bit, but as long as they're printing money, you will have inflation. Those two go hand in hand. They keep trying to baffle the public. Oh, you know, we're going to raise lower interest rates, and that's good. No, as long as they're printing money, you have inflation. It's that simple. It doesn't change.
And you know something, Herman? I don't know if you've talked about this before. This is my honest assessment. Not that I'm some expert money guy, but even the Federal Reserve having cut rates recently, what, over the last a couple of weeks or so. And the market seemed to be reacting as if they're really disappointed because they were hoping to see more aggression, you know, in this right now. I have a feeling that ultimately the president or the governor of Oregon or the county commissioners in Jackson and Josephine County, et cetera, we're going to have to be dealing with the fallout of the inflation because they still have not whipped the inflation. The inflation has not been put into the grave. You know, we're just talking about getting down to what they claim is a 2 to 3% you know, sort of thing. And it's killing the budgeting process. And I'd be willing to bet you that even the cuts they've made so far are going to make it very difficult for whoever is president next year, whether it's Harris or Trump. I can't help but
Neither Harris or Trump are talking about spending less. Have you noticed that?
Neither one of them. Look at the price of gold reflecting that, too, that reality of what we're dealing with.
So that tells me we have inflation is going to continue. And I, you know me, I'm looking at all kinds of numbers. I was just looking at commercial vacancies throughout the United States. They're very high. San Francisco, the city of San Francisco's commercial vacancy is 30%. That's a high rent district, you know.
Boy.
Yeah, 30%. There is $2 trillion of commercial real estate loans that will be coming due to refinance because they're mostly interest-only loans in the next 24 months.
How's that going to get rolled over?
Yes. How's that going to work?
Yeah.
Maybe some of them walk away. When you look at some of these buildings that are selling in the cities, the big cities, New York, L.A., San Francisco, stuff, they're at a fraction of the price that they sold for 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Now, how do you think that will affect, I mean, yeah, we can talk about Portland, we can talk about San Francisco. How do you think that that then affects, you know, in our areas, in Josephine, Jackson County?
Just take a drive around and look at the vacancies in commercial real estate.
Hmm.
Just drive around and look, Bill. It's actually pretty amazing, you know, when you really start looking for it. It's amazing how many vacancies. So a $2 trillion is a lot of money. Remember, if you and I sat down counted $1 trillion, it'd take us 35,000 years. So people don't, $2 trillion doesn't sound like a lot of money to the average person. But just try to sit down and count it. Then get your arms around how mm-hmm. much money that is.
Yeah, I think everyone's whistling past the graveyard, though, out of Washington, D.C., even to the state and beyond, too, you know, state government. And it's almost like nobody really wants to talk about really what this is going to look like here. And because no one has talked about reining in spending, there is no consensus for reining in spending at this point.
And if so that's what we're trying to do at the county is to prepare. And we're, you know, there are people within the county that are fighting very hard against what we're trying to do.
Yeah, in essence, you're trying to front run.
We're trying to get in front of it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and they just, you know, look at the union negotiations, how much the increase in salary. I keep saying, where do you think this money's going to come from?
Well, what about the dock workers, too? We were talking about the dock workers, Matt, and other people calling in this morning. But they're looking for an 80% raise over the next 6 to 7 years. It's like, oh, my gosh. That's not inflationary, though, Herman. Not inflationary.
Well, Boeing, look at the Boeing employees. They want a 44% increase?
Mm-hmm.
Where is this money coming? Don't you realize that we're shooting our own foot?
But you see, this is the challenge of inflation. And this is the part that, you know, you see this kind of unrest when the inflation hits the economy. And even though they're saying they've got that tamed, no, they don't. Because, you know, if you didn't have inflation, workers for the most part would be pretty satisfied with an occasional, okay, we got a little cola here, and yeah, we'll do a little nip and tuck and on this, and okay, we'll get you a nice little 2-3% raise. But no, the demands are insane. The demands are insane because of what's really happening out there.
Right. And so the other side of the ledger at the counties is the income to the counties are going down. And my prediction is the federal grants, well, we depend on 86% of our funding coming from grants. And my prediction is federal grants are going to go away or at least downsize. So the one side of our ledger, cost of doing business, is going up, and the income side of our ledger is going down. It's a double whammy, and people just don't understand it.
And by the way, recalling John West is not going to fix that problem.
No, it's not. And you know what else I got thinking the other day? Right, currently in Josephine County, you have three commissioners that have been extremely successful in their private lives, very successful. When was the last time that happened? Okay, you have three people that have been very successful in business, don't need the paycheck, don't need the money, and are actually trying to get Josephine County to a point where it can sustain and kind of balance out. And it's going to be, services are going to cut. If you don't have the money, you have to cut the services. All these unions that we gave all these increases, and I understand all those employees are suffering under inflation too and need more money. Just look at mortgage rates have doubled in the last, 7 years? Mm-hmm. Doubled. So I understand all that, but at the end of the day, when we don't have the money, guess what happens? We have to start laying off. And remember what I told you a few months ago? I think the next big shoe to drop in this country is unemployment.
Well, so, I hope you're wrong, but I don't think you are. And I don't think any of us are. And I think, when you look at this, this is the reality. And I know that the Federal Reserve, the federal government at this point, is trying to keep this kind of quiet and papered over right now. But neither a presidential candidate is really, wanting to talk about this. And I get that. I understand why they don't want to talk about it. But that doesn't mean it's not true. Okay?
Exactly. And so that's why they're trying to recall John West, because he's very direct. And that's just, he comes from a place of making business decisions. And, businessmen have a tendency not to sugarcoat things. Politicians do. And people don't like that. People don't like the directness. They think it's mean talk or hard talk, but yeah, it's probably reality talk.
Yeah, everybody wants a pony. What can I say here, Herman?
We just went through all of our vehicles. We're getting rid of. We've had a bunch of vehicles that weren't getting driven, so we're getting rid of them. And there's the part. Well, we may need it. Well, you know what? If you don't, it's going. It's $1 million worth of automobiles that we don't need, and we don't need to pay for the insurance. So we're getting rid of them. And then we decided to put GPSs in all the county vehicles. So they're really handy, especially.
Well, you want to make sure, though, that people, that employees aren't using county vehicles for personal use, right? That's what you're looking for, right? Is that the reason for that?
Well, that's one thing. And the other thing is, when we get calls, oh, we've seen so-and-so speeding, or we've seen this, or we've seen that, we can go look, because those GPS track the speed, they track where they went, they track if they brake too hard. So there's a lot of good information there. And that helps reduce, we had some people within the county says, oh, look at you. You talk about saving money on one hand, and then you go and spend 20-some thousand on GPSs. Well, guess what? Our insurance rates, we're going to be able to go back to the insurance company, and we will recapture that in our insurance rates. Josephine County is in a bad spot, Bill, because we're too small to self-insure, and there's only one insurance company out there that we can deal with. One.
Which one?
It's CCIS.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, when you only have one insurance company, do you think they're going to insure you if you continue to have lawsuits and losses? They're not in the business to lose money. So their reaction to lawsuits or losses is to, one, raise your premium, or two, just get rid of you. Okay?
Don't need you.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to minimize the liabilities in Josephine County, because our insurance premium is huge. And I am tired of stupid lawsuits from things that probably could have been mitigated. So we're trying to do that. But the people that are recalling, it's not about really, John, it's about the Democrats taking over Josephine County. Let's just be clear. That's what it's about.
Yeah, that's always what I kind of thought it was too here, Herman.
Yeah.
Appreciate the take. Yep. But, hey, we'll chew on that and talk again next week, as always, and be well in spite of all of this. And I'd be curious if the president of the RCC is maybe reconsidering that, that little open commons area and doing political events there against the county, against the people in the county right now. It seems like a strange place to go when you're hoping that the voters will go for the 9-cent bond.
Exactly. I think it's stupid. Well, like I said, I don't feel that a college that has taken citizens' money to operate should be engaged in politics.
Yeah.
What's next? Are we going to put political signs there too?
Why not next if you're going to do that? All right, Herman, we'll talk next week.
North.
All right.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you later, Bill.
Have a good week. 5 after 8. KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass.